On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And the Duke joins us again. Morning, Duke.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. You sound like you've got a bit of kennel cough, mate. I'll get you some Clavulox or Vibrovet down there for you.
And I might have a bit of Parvo, I think.
I won't say what we do, no. Hey, listen, Cozzy, this is, without a doubt, the biggest week in greyhound racing in Australia. We, of course, have the final of the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup to be staged this Friday night at Sandown Park. It's worth $420,000 to the winner, and it is the world's richest greyhound race. We'll also have the final of the Group 1 Bold Trees, named in honour of that great Warrnambool Warrior who took out four Sandown Cups during the 1980s. That's the other highlight on the card there at Sandown Park. Today, an absolute bumper edition. We'll speak with every trainer in the Melbourne Cup, with the exception of Terry Marie Morris. We just can't get hold of her at the moment. Terry Marie prepares Jezalenka, but we're going to speak with every other trainer who's got a runner in the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup to be staged this Friday night. Before we do that, just a bit of news in regards to the Orange by-election that was held on Saturday. Now, I'll speak with Phil Donato later in the show, but it appears as if the noisy minority, that was Troy Grant's description of the Greyhound fraternity, have stood up and they've been heard, because at the latest count, there's a swing of around 35% against the Nationals. And Phil Donato from the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party holds a very slender 2 or 3% lead as far as the preferential votes are concerned. And we probably won't know the result of that election until around about Thursday. But I will speak with Phil Donato later in the show. But as I said, on Friday evening at Sandown Park, we had eight heats of the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. Zambora Brocky clocked the fastest time. He's drawn box three in the final. He's a $2 favourite with tab.com.au. As far as the Bold Trees is concerned, four heats of those run. The big surprise, obviously, was that Boom One Down, the $1.45 all-in market favourite for the Bold Trees, was run out of it in the heats. It's a Bird won in 42.48, won its heat, I should say. Ramifications in 42.09. It's a Fling gave trainer Wayne Vassallo a double-pronged attack into this Friday night's final when it ran the fastest time of 41.89. And Keiko Potion staged a big upset to score in 42.19. And the favourite, as far as tab.com.au is concerned, is the fastest heat winner. It's a Fling at $3.50. Second pick in the market, Ramifications from box three at $4. And Wayne Vassallo's other runner there, It's a Bird from box one, along with Jamanda Hattie, is third favourite at around the $5 mark. So that race worth $100,000 to the winner, but the feature is worth $420,000. That is the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. Joining us online now, the media manager from Sandown Park, Mick Floyd. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Duke. What a great night of racing was last Friday night. What a final we've got this Friday coming.
It sure is, mate. I mean, when we look at it and you look at the class of greyhounds, I mean, look, we probably say it every year. We say, wow, what a feel, but you look at these greyhounds on paper and the likes of Zambora Brocky, the likes of Worm Burner, the likes of Ando's Mac, the likes of Outside Pass, and then we've got the youngsters in Barton Bale, Matt Machine, Trip'em. It really is a feel that if you could have handpicked it, I reckon you would have had at least three or four of these in that handpicked field.
No question. No, one of the things we saw going into the heats was the depth in every heat. And when you've got that sort of depth, you're guaranteed a good final. And the best ones got through. It was good, clean racing, and full credit to the winner. There was a couple of thrilling finishes there. Jezalenka on Blazing Bomb had a few people talking. But no, what a fantastic night. And this final, as you said, is as good as finals you're going to see at a Group 1 level.
It certainly is. Tell us what's happening on track on Cup night for those people that are heading to Sandown Park this Friday night.
Yeah, it's a big night of entertainment on and off the track. We try and package up a full night's entertainment. There's plenty of entertainment, including a big show just before the Cup final. The Afghans making another appearance. There's plenty of prizes and giveaways and lots happening between every race. Of course, the four legs of the quaddy are four group races, the two Group 1 finals and two listed events, which are always outstanding races in their own right. It's going to be a great night of racing, and weather's going to be perfect too. It always is in Melbourne.
So, oh, please.
Around 30-odd degrees on Friday. So if you're in the area, absolutely make your way to the track.
Talking about that quaddy for SuperTab customers, a guaranteed pool of $600,000.
Yeah, it's the third year, I think. think we've had that guarantee now, and if past experience is any guide, then it'll be much more than 600,000 in the pool by the time it jumps in race five. So absolutely, if you're every reason to become a super Victorian Tab customer and have a crack at the quaddie.
All right. Looks like being a great night, mate. I look forward to seeing you trackside on Friday.
We'll do. It's free entry too, so make sure you get along.
Yep. Mick Floyd there from Sandown Park. Okay, let's get into our Melbourne Cup special here on Going Greyhounds. And joining us now is Darren Russell, who's got Trip'em, and Trip'em took out his heat on Friday night in 29.52 after winning a prelude in 29.33. He's drawn box number four in the final. And Darren Russell, Roanoke was the last Queensland trained greyhound to win the cup. Can Trip'em win this year's Melbourne Cup?
I think he's some chance after the draw, Mark. I think it's panned out okay.
He's drawn box four. He's not a noted crasher to the fence. He's not a noted wide runner. It's along with Ando's Mac, who's drawn outside of him in box number five. He should say, the draw doesn't appear that bad for him. He's had two starts at Sandown from box two and from box seven. And you've got to say he's been super impressive because he's led on both occasions.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. He played up a little bit in the kennels last week. That's why I stayed down for this week.
You're staying with Anthony Azzopardi, I believe. He must be a great host. He's got the favourite.
Yeah, don't worry, mate. We're both keeping an eye on each other this week. I'm sleeping with one eye open every night.
Listen, for you, look, you're known as Group 2 Darren up in Queensland. You've prepared a stack of winners, and we spoke to you last week on the program, but this is a different kettle of fish. You're at the big show. You've got a shot at winning a Group 1 Tab Melbourne Cup. It's only been one sleep since the box draw was held yesterday. How's the mind? What's ticking over in your brain, mate?
No, nothing different, mate. I'm pretty calm. It's just another race. I know it's worth a lot of money and prestige, but you just got to do the same thing with the dog and not get too excited, and so it doesn't pass through to the dog, and keep him calm and yourself.
To win a Group 1, it would be a fantastic achievement, but to win what is recognised as the most prestigious greyhound event, probably not just in Australia, but around the world as well. I imagine for you as a trainer, that would have to be high on the bucket list.
Oh, it'd be sensational, mate. I'd have to retire Saturday morning, wouldn't I?
Late Friday night.
Oh, late Friday night, yeah.
All right.
The celebrations, if I won it, yeah, it'd be enormous.
You've got Zambora Brocky drawn inside you. Do you consider him to be the obvious danger?
Oh, of course, mate. He's a class dog in the field. He's so consistent. Big race performer. He's going to give me a good run, but he will go left at the start, which is good.
Yeah, and you've got Barton Bale, who we saw on Friday night, just crashed hard across from the outside. Thankfully, I guess, for most trainers, he's drawn the inside box.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe it. The box draw, I was first up and I had to draw four, and I'm going, couldn't be any worse. And as everyone was going up, I said, I hope they draw this, I hope they draw that. They all did, mate. It's unbelievable.
And they've come up with the inside box for Barton Bale.
Oh, me and Anthony were so happy he drew the red.
I could imagine. Mate, best of luck on Friday night with Trip'em. He has really stepped up to the mark in recent times. He took out the Group 2 Lismore Cup, and since then, those two wins at Sandown Park have been emphatic. And let's hope for you that it continues this Friday night.
All right, man. Thanks for that, Mark.
Darren Russell there, who's got Trip'em. We head from Trip'em to Ando's Mac, and his trainer is Jason McKay, and the last New South Wales trained greyhound to win a Melbourne Cup was Go Wild Teddy back in 2000. Been a long while between drinks, Jason McKay.
You've been a bit of a duke, that's for sure, mate, but we'll just see what happens come Friday.
You must have been delighted that he reverted back to his, what we would term his normal box manners on Friday evening. Ran 5.09 to the first mark. The week before, you took him down in a prelude, and as we heard you tell our audience a couple of weeks ago, those boxes between Wentworth Park and Sandown Park, there's a 100 mil difference in the grill. That makes a big difference to a greyhound having his first start at Sandown Park.
Mark, 100%, mate, especially in this elite company where there's nothing between them, the first mark, the back, their run homes, all of that. But I'll say this to you, Mark, I've done all the takes again on every one of the runners, and especially him in. He was seventh away this week. He was last week, so he's improved one step. He was seventh away and run 5.09. I reckon if he could flip the lid, I reckon he could run five or better, tell the truth.
And look, you're going to have to be running those 5.0s, you know, to be up in the leading pack at that first turn. And it is a Group 1 Melbourne Cup, and you need to be near the leaders to be able to win a race. You rarely see a greyhound come from fifth or sixth in the pack, Jase.
Mark, that won't be happening again. It'll be won and lost in the box for the winner face. But this bloke's main forte, and I've said it and I'll say it again, and probably give a few people a ear back and tell the truth, but his go is the nail of start, mate, and blur him in the first 50 metres. Well, he hasn't even got close to his Wentworth Park form, what we're seeing as stand down, but maybe Mark's third time lucky and coming out under the lid because he's going to have to.
We've seen him at Wentworth Park, Jace, run sparkling first time and sparkling first sectional times. What I was trying to say, 5:45s, 5:41s. As you said, he hasn't nailed the start at Sandown today, but this Friday in the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup final, he'll be third start up at the track, and you must be confident that sooner or later, mate, he's going to nail it, and for your sake, let's hope it's this Friday night.
True, Mark, it's one of them races, if you dissect them all, there's a fair few of them ain't what you call brilliant lead singers, you know what I mean? So the box ain't great in any Group 1, especially the Melbourne Cup, but Sambora Brocky drawn in three and Barton Barley in one, that just gives everybody a chance outside of him because they both want to begin and push hard left. So, far as Marcio's a straight line, but the same thing, mate. If he could nail the start, he's a real chance. If he don't, they'll probably bury him, tell the truth.
We spoke before the Vic Peters Classic. He had box six and we discussed how he runs that straight line to the first turn. And although box five, it's never a great box in any race. Obviously, you'd like one or eight or something like that. But at least with Ando's Mac, we know he's going to go dead straight to that first turn and then edge across to the fence. He's not going to bring himself undone by wanting to go hard left or hard right out of the boxes, Jase.
No, that's exactly right again, Duke. That's what I'm looking at as well. But when I've seen the six, seven and eight get drawn, they're not what you call blind and early. I think it's a disadvantage to wide draws at Sandown and numbers, the starters or the inside boxers, say the inside boxers are much better. But I've just got a gut feeling 6, 7 and 8 can't sort of, a national ability won't burn him off. So if he could begin as he's normal, what he's good at, he could be in a firing line at the winning post where everybody's going to have to be to get a check mark.
Well, best of luck this Friday night, Jase, with Ando's Mac, and I'll see you trackside as well.
Good man, Duke. Appreciate it.
Jason McKay there. We head from Ando's Max trainer to Outside Passes trainer, and we're talking now with Tony Appap and Outside Pass, of course, representing Queensland, along with Trippin. Good morning to you, Tone.
Yeah, good morning, mate.
You must have been, again, delighted with her run. She's got a real affinity with Sandown Park. She pinged out of the inside box on Friday night. She ran 29.13 overall, but that 5.05 first mark must have been pleasing. What do you make of box six in the final?
You're going to do a custom six, but Mark, I still reckon I like to see her out there myself. Even from the one last week, she sort of moved out to the middle of the track a bit. Yeah, look, if she can come out like she did last week, she'll be up there.
And as Mark drawn inside you, Matt Machine, look, he had a dream run last Friday night off the inside where he was drawn box one, but he's drawn box seven and then out in box eight as Jezalenko. So those greyhounds aren't noted fence crashes, and we've seen her at Albion Park particularly where she does want to use that middle of the track, Tony.
Yeah, most definitely, Mark. Yeah, like I say, all she's got to do, Mark, is jump out like she did last week or with him. We don't know. Whoever leads that round that first turn is going to be hard to catch, Mark. And, you know, so it's all going to be whoever escapes that first turn.
The class of the greyhound in this final, Tony, I think it's one of the best Melbourne Cup fields we've seen in recent times. You've got the likes of Your Bitch Outside Pass, but we've got Zambora Brocky, a dual Group 1 winner, and a three times Group 2 winner. We've got Ando's Mac. You know, it's just class personified, but nailing that start is critical, isn't it?
Oh, it's great, Mark. It's just an unbelievable race. It's a privilege to be in the final. Like you say, any one of the eight can win the race. And, you know, we've got a New South Wales representative, we've got an Adelaide representative and two Queenslanders. It's just buzz right around Australia, Mark, over this race. I mean, so there should be. It's hat off to the clubs. They've done a terrific job. Yeah, no, it's exciting times, mate.
It's been a long while since an interstate train greyhound has won its own. 14 years, for the last 14 years, the Victorians have claimed victory in the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. So it's about time Interstater took it out. I asked Darren Russell before what it would mean to him to win the Melbourne Cup, and he's a lot younger than you. You've been in this game for a long while. You've prepared some very good greyhounds. You've been a stud master. You've done basically everything in the game. To win a Melbourne Cup, Tony, what would it mean to you?
Oh, it's just unbelievable, Mark. I've been in the game for 50-odd years. I grew up with them. It would mean everything, Mark, absolutely everything. I followed the Western Bulldogs for 50 years, and I never thought they'd win the flag, so it could be the year they're the underdogs, Mark, so we're hoping.
Well, we had, we had the Western Bulldogs, we had Cronulla Sharks, we had Chicago Cubs, and more recently, of course, we had Donald Trump winning the US election. Tony, let's hope it's your turn on Friday night with Outside Pass. Best of luck, and I know the entire Sunshine State will be cheering for you.
Thanks very much.
Tony Appap there, and as Tony said, he's been in the game for more than 50 years. This young man I'm about to speak to is probably not even half that age. Blake Shillington joins us on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Blakey.
Duke, how are you, mate?
Very well, thank you. Barton Bale, 11 starts, 8 wins, 2 seconds. You find yourself with box 1 in a Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. How are the nerves for you on this Monday morning?
Not too bad. I'm just trying to do everything as I usually do. I'm not trying to really think about it too much.
Had box 8 on Friday night, Blake. He absolutely carved across the face of the field, set the race up for himself, smashed a few of them on route to doing that. But the big thing with this greyhound is his early pace. He's run 5 even and 4.99 to the first mark at Sandown Park. What are you expecting him to do off box number 1?
He's never really had the inside before. Like, he's had box 2 and he's never had box 1. In my opinion, he's better from the outside, so he can get across to another dog. He goes a lot better when he's crossing dogs instead of having dogs on the outside of him. I don't know what it is, but that's just how he races. But in saying that, if he can come out running like he did and he can get straight onto the rails, then it's going to help him as well. So, yeah.
Now, Blake, you've only been preparing greyhounds for what I think it's about the last 3 years as a trainer?
Yeah, about that.
You've been lucky enough to be involved with the Wheeler organisation, I'll say that. They're striving to win their 5th Melbourne Cup this year with Barton Bale, the greyhound that you prepare. Of course, they quinellaed the event last year with Dinah Double One, who edged out Fernando Bale. As far as a young trainer is concerned, I imagine it just must be an enormous thrill to train for someone like Paul and Jan Wheeler.
Oh, it is an enormous thrill, and it's a huge honour. There's not many people that I'll just go and I'll give dogs to, and to be privileged enough for them to offer dogs to me, it just feels really good.
Well, as far as boxes are concerned, winning boxes in the Melbourne Cup, I can tell you that box 1 is the most successful. It's won 15 of the runnings of the Melbourne Cup, and Barton Bale's got that box on Friday night. Blake Shillington, best of luck with your charge there, and who knows, the youngest trainer and one of the youngest greyhounds may etch their name into the history books on Friday night.
Thanks, mate.
Blake Shillington is the trainer of Barton Bale, and it's been well supported with the All In Market as far as tab.com.au is concerned. They bet $101. He was into $21 before the heats. He's now around that $8 mark for Friday night's final, $8.50 in fact. Jamie Ennis, one of my co-hosts and form experts on At The Boxes every Wednesday night on Sky Racing 2. Jamie and his wife, Brooke, have qualified Matt Machine into this Friday night's Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. Morning, Jamie.
Morning, Duke.
Mate, he utilised box 1 to perfection on Friday night.
Yeah, he had the right draw. I was pretty confident he'd cover the rest of them. I just obviously thought if Dundee Osprey got round, which he didn't quite, he'd probably get the money. But we happened to drive through and he'd done a good job.
Okay, box number 7 Friday night. What happens in that run of the first turn for Matt Machine?
To be honest, I done a few tapes and had a look at the field last night, and I think there really isn't a dog in the race that's drawn where it wants to be, probably except for Jezolenko. He likes to, you know, sort of come down on dogs and sort of, you know, swoop around on the first corner. But those dogs drawn inside, Barton Bale runs sort of between 5 dead, 5.05, and he's just going to want to shift straight up the track on the first corner. So it's going to be probably carnage on the first corner, to be honest.
How do you see that panning out then, Jamie? Do you see a dog like Ando's Mac from box five being able to run that first turn and run it in the middle of the track and lead?
I think a dog like Ando's Mac and his runs at Sandown the last 2 weeks, he's actually wanted to come across, you know, pretty much early in the race. So, you know, obviously, you know, he tended to go in a straight line at Wentworth Park, but the last 2 weeks he wanted to work across running 5.05. I really think, you know, if he can run that, he's going to put a lot of pressure on those on the inside, and he's probably a better chance, you know, to sort of sweep across, because you're going to have the dog in four sort of working across as well with real good pace. It's just basically a raffle for mine.
Okay. Matt Machine, is it probably best for you to miss the start and get onto the fence? I mean, is that his best chance? Because if he's seven deep at that first turn, he can't possibly cross them. Is that the way you see it?
Oh, look, he hasn't got the speed to cross them anyway. He's not the best beginner. He's not faultless. So probably 6 out of 10, he does put a come out a half to a length behind them anyway, and he does look for the fence. So that would be his only possible hope. And, you know, when they get to the first corner, we're going to see the shift from Barton Bale, definitely from Wormburner. There's definitely going to be trouble in the first corner. You know, you don't like to see it in these big Group 1 races, but they're just drawn so the way wrong way around a lot of these dogs that, you know, there could be a leader out in front that could get well and truly a long way in front because of the carnage it will be behind.
Yep, well, it's going to be a case of, as you say, hold your breath at that first turn. Mate, best of luck to you and Brooke with Matt Machine in Friday night's Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup, and we'll see you on Wednesday night for our big Melbourne Cup preview on At The Boxes.
No worries. Thanks, Stu.
Jamie Ennis there, and Jamie mentioned Wormburner. Of course, he is the pride of South Australia. He's trained by Cameron Butcher, and every time I see Cameron at a track, I say, mate, best of luck. He goes, we need luck. Well, Cameron Butcher, you had a little bit of that on Friday night. He began well, and he posited himself up at that first turn, sitting outside the leader. Must have been satisfying for you to see Wormburner bring his South Australian form across to Sandown Park.
Yeah, it really was. The race before was disappointing, and we was tossing up whether to come back or not.
Box number two on Friday night, Cam. We know that Wormburner wants to use a little bit of the track. I guess you want to, ideally, you want to be in front of Zambora Brocky at the first turn. Can you see that happening?
Well, I can't know, but he's just such a brilliant box dog and really speed. And our dog, a bit of hit and miss too. You can only hope for the best. Like if he was close to Zambora Brocky, you're in with a chance, but he's such a brilliant dog, isn't he?
Okay, you know, as I say, we know Wormburner's form at Angle Park. It's absolutely brilliant. There's always question marks on greyhounds that whether or not they're hometown champions, but we've seen Wormburner now do it at Sandown Park. He ran 29.30 last Friday evening. He ran 5.10 to the first mark. And I was talking to a couple of the what we call the pro punters. They think your best chance, Cameron Butcher, is for Wormburner to half miss it because they expect Barton Bale to want to be running up that track at that first turn. We've actually seen it. We know he goes underneath dogs, Cam. So it's not a case of box two. Although it's not ideal, it's probably better than being box five or six for you.
Yeah, definitely. Box two, I don't mind it really. I think I'd sooner box two at Sandown than probably like four or five, definitely. But the track, the straight's a lot longer and it gives you more time to wind up, whereas like Angle Park, you're quick to the turn. So, well, who knows, you know, you can only cross your fingers and hope. But no, I'm quite happy with two. I've seen the two than probably seven. And I do think the lure noise is a lot quieter than Angle Park, and he'll get a better sound of it, and hopefully he'll jump out of the box reasonable.
And you talk about the lure, of course, at Angle Park, it's the big hoop arm lure. It's a different lure at Sandown Park. And all of these things take acclimatising too.
Well, they definitely do. After the run before, you've seen what a big improvement, you know. So hopefully, well, he's not a real good traveller. And he did travel a fraction better last time, and hopefully next time we'll travel better again.
All right.
So we're always hoping for all these good things to happen.
You've always got a smile on your face when I speak to you about, mate.
Yeah.
Best of luck this Friday night, Cam, with Wormburner. As I said, with the Queenslanders, they've got the whole state cheering for them. And all of South Australia will definitely be cheering for Wormburner in this Friday night's Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Cameron Butcher there. And, of course, we go to the favourite, and that is Zambora Brocky. And his trainer, Anthony Azzopardi, joins us on Going Greyhounds. Morning, Ant.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Firstly, how did he pull up after registering the fastest time of the heat?
Yeah, no, he's pulled up really good, you know, 100%. So, yeah, so far so good.
He's drawn box three. We know he can ping the boxes. How do you see the box draw? How do you read it?
I'm quite happy where we are. I know Trippin will sort of go straight and wants to use a little bit of the track, and Endo's Mac runs a straight line. I didn't see him go in at all, you know, through these last 2 weeks here. My only concern is the red, you know. He can run 5 dead to 5.05, and our bloke does the same thing. And, you know, I'm just worried if he's on the outside or if we get a little bit in front of him and drag him down the first turn. That's my only sort of worry with that, you know, the box draw.
We saw Barton Bale the week before in a prelude of the Melbourne Cup, Ant. He had box number two, and he didn't begin as brilliantly as possible. And as you said, when he got to that first turn, all he wanted to do was get off the track. You either want to be in front of him or just behind him.
Yeah, if we can, that can go to the plan, it'll be nice. But, you know, we're not going to know till it happens, you know. But on sections, they're going to be sort of head-to-head, you know, and it's a bit worrying, really.
He is a Group 1 warrior, but he's won two of these events. He's won three Group 2s. Tell me, what do you do with the race favourite for the $420,000 to the winner, Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup, between now and Friday? What's his program?
Look, his program is go up the straight tomorrow morning. He'll get a good workout, and then I'll just leave him alone and he'll race on Friday.
So you literally put him away after tomorrow?
Yeah, that's it. That'll be his last workout.
To win a Melbourne Cup for you, Anthony, as a party, you've won plenty of Group 1s. I guess this would be the pinnacle of your racing career.
Oh, most definitely. You know, it's something probably every trainer dreams of, you know, and we get our 50-50 chance, so we're in it, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Mate, the team's been going terrific. As I said, I know it's been a terrific year for you, and for his owner, Charlie Azzopardi, who has knocked back very, very big dollars for him. This would be, as I say, the icing on the cake is what has been a terrific year, because we go back to January, Anthony Azzopardi, you made the move from New South Wales to Victoria. For the family, that was a huge upheaval.
Yeah, mate, it was a big move, and it's really paid off for us. You know, we're very lucky to have good owners too, you know, and without them, we'll be struggling, you know. And look, it's been a great move. It was the best move I've ever done, really.
All right, mate, he's drawn box number three. He is the $2 favourite. They bet $14 with tab.com.au. I'll see you trackside. I know the whole family, you know, will be on edge this week, but this is what you train for, mate. So best of luck with Zambora Brocky in the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup final, Ant.
Thank you, Mark.
Anthony Azzopardi there, and as I said, he has Zambora Brocky, the $2 favourite. The market looks this way. Brocky's the favourite. Second pick is Outside Pass from box number six at $5.50. $7.50 about Ando's Mac and Worm Burner, and then we go out to Barton Bale off the inside box, who is $8.50. Well, a crucial by-election was held at Orange over the weekend, and voters certainly sent a message to the Nationals with a swing of more than 35%. Shooters, Fishers and Farmers representative Phil Donato, at this stage on a two-party preferred vote, looks to be the front-runner to win the seat at Orange. Good morning to you, Phil.
Yes, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Very well, thank you. It must be very heartening to know that all your hard work in that Central West area has, looks like being rewarded.
Yeah, look, we're hopeful. It's early days still. There's still a number of votes to come in. We're slightly ahead. There's some pre-polling results, as I understand it, and some distribution of preferences to occur on Thursday. On a two-party preferred basis, we're slightly ahead, but I think some of those results that are coming in may probably favour the Nationals. So I expect our lead to diminish a little bit, or slightly, and we probably won't know till Thursday.
One of your platforms, obviously, was the Greyhound ban and how harsh it was, but it was also about council amalgamations as well. The support that you've given the Greyhound people, and in return you've received it as well, it must be very heartening as well.
Yeah, look, it's extremely heartening. You know, to be fair, I didn't really know much about Greyhounds before I embarked on this campaign, and you know, I've met a lot of Greyhound owners, and they're fantastic people. They love their animals, and you know, they really got screwed over with this decision or this ban that was forced on them. And same as the council amalgamation people, you know, there's some great people out at the Cabon area who are really, and Save Our Councils in Sydney, who are really working hard to put a moratorium on the decision to force the amalgamation of councils. You know, councils is grassroots democracy in some of these in these towns, and they're the biggest employers of people in these regional rural communities, and they provide valuable services.
And Phil, should you be elected, you'll continue to support the Greyhound people as well?
Yes, that would be one of my priorities, to certainly ensure that the ban goes through and is legislated, and to ensure an outcome desirous of the industry is achieved. I certainly don't want to see the industry set up to fail or strangled to death through bureaucracy and red tape and over-regulation. So I would like to see recompense for the hundreds of millions of dollars that they've been owed under the Indicote agreement that they've been paying into for the last 15 or 16 years. And, you know, the non-closure of to ensure that tracks remain open where the community wants them to remain open. So that's the position I'm going to take.
If anyone had suggested 12 months ago that the National Party would lose Orange, a seat that they've held since 1947, you probably would have got odds of 100 to 1. Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party have got two upper house representatives. They have never, ever had a lower house member. And Phil Donato, you could be the very, very first one.
Yeah, well, it could be. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not getting too excited just yet, but it'd certainly be historical, that's for sure. You know, 70 years is a long time, and to be held by the same seat, and if I was to be the one to be successful, it would be a great honour. And to be the first member of the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party in the lower house, I think, in Australia, would also be a tremendous honour. And, you know, like you said, if you would have asked me 12 months ago, I would have said you're nuts.
Well,
you know, the fluid nature of politics, I guess.
It certainly is, and how quickly it turns. We appreciate your time on Going Greyhounds. Let's hope that the votes continue to fall your way, particularly with those pre-polls and the postals, and that you will be elected the member for the Orange area.
Let's hope so, Mark. And thanks very much for your support and support of the industry.
Good on you, Phil.
Thank you.
That's Phil Donato there, and as I said, we will hear, we'll get the final results. We expect them to come through on Thursday, but already media reports are coming to light that there could be a spill for the Nationals as early as either tonight or tomorrow. Andrew Fraser was quoted as saying that Troy Grant's time may just about be up. Of course, he is the Racing Minister, the Deputy Premier, the Arts Minister, and he is the leader of the Nationals here in New South Wales. But that swing at Orange around the 35% mark, absolutely unheard of, Cozzy. And Troy Grant was the one that said he wouldn't allow a noisy minority to dictate to him. That noisy minority, by the way, was the Greyhound Fraternity, and they, along with plenty of other people, have certainly voted on Saturday in the Orange by-election. As said, a big week coming up, of course. It is highlighted by the world's richest greyhound race, the Group 1 TAB Melbourne Cup. We've got a big show on the catching pen, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday night, Sky Racing 2 at the Boxes, a Melbourne Cup special, 6 p.m. on Wednesday night, and then I'll be live trackside on Friday evening for what is, to my mind, the greatest night of greyhound racing in Australia.